From a secret location in room 100 of 540 Jack Gibbs Boulevard, this is Craft. I'm your host, Doug Dangler. Composer Aaron J. Kernis's Trumpet Concerto, A Voice, A Messenger, will premiere in Ohio on February 25th with the Ohio State University Wind Symphony and featuring Michael Sachs, principal trumpet player for the Cleveland Orchestra. I talked to Aaron J. Kernis about the commissioning of the Trumpet Concerto and how the writing of the concerto affected him. Welcome, Aaron J. Kernis, to Craft.
Pleasure to be here.
You've got a trumpet concerto that will be making its Ohio debut with the Ohio State University Wind Symphony. Tell me a little bit about it.
It was jointly commissioned with the Big Ten Band Association, which is a nationwide group of bands, and the New York Philharmonic. And it was originally written for the New York Philharmonic's primary trumpet player, Philip Smith, who recently just actually retired from New York Phil. But luckily, I have had a chance to hear him premiere it in Champaign-Urbana last year with their Wind Symphony, and so this will be the second performance with the fabulous principal trumpet of the Cleveland Symphony, Michael Sachs.
Tell me a little bit about the commissioning of this. I understand it's based on a lot of biblical texts, and you were a little submerged by Philip Smith in biblical texts before the beginning of the writing of it. Is that accurate?
Exactly. It was very important to him. He really wanted the piece to have something to do with the relationship of the trumpet and similar instruments in the Bible. So he sent me many, like a concordance of all the places that the trumpet and shofar and cornets and all that appear in the Bible. And I gravitated to the shofar. I actually went to, I'm Jewish, I went back to Rosh Hashanah services and heard the night that the shofar is usually played, and was reading in the context of the service the many of the quotes in the Jewish liturgy, and that really was the starting place. So I began to kind of combine some of the quotes that he'd given me from Scripture and some of those from Jewish liturgy, and do some research about the shofar playing, about its characteristic sounds, characteristic notes, and that really influenced the sound and, in a way, the subject matter of the piece a lot.
What did you find out about the playing of the shofar, and how closely related is it to some of the instruments, say, in the orchestra?
Well, the shofar is a ram's horn.
Mm-hmm.
It has no holes to push down, nothing but the tension of the lip and the strength of your air production. So, but typically the ram's horns have this very limited range and very few notes that can be produced, and a lot of times they don't sound, you know, in terms of a beautiful context, they don't sound beautiful, but they sound very strongly characteristic. And so I listened to a lot of these, a lot of performances actually online and live, and certain notes in the Jewish tradition, there are repetitions, like you'd hear something like that kind of a series of short notes that are led to by a lower note and that a long held note, and something just a da 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 da, that kind of a long, short, short, long, that kind of thing. So I took very loosely from those elements and began to fashion trumpet music that had some aspect of shofar playing as its background.
You said that you had done a lot of looking at the concordance of the Bible for all of the moments when the shofar was played and horns were played, and I'm curious how that also impacted the writing of the piece, because, for example, in a story in the Wall Street Journal, it talks about the playing of it as the walls of Jericho fell.
Right.
Is that something you kept imagining as you were writing it, that and other areas for bringing in echoes of those moments into the piece?
Well, it wasn't so much based on any specific event in the Bible as it was thinking about what was the trumpet used for.
Mm-hmm.
It was used to announce battle. announce bringing people together. And another thing was to announce the high holidays. And to, what was the last thing? I think to, you heard it, I think it was heard when the Ten Commandments were given. So I was looking more generally about a kind of mood, a kind of circumstance. For example, it's the second movement where it references quotes from Psalm 150, which is the one of the most famous psalms, which is, in a way, a list of lots of instruments that were played in ancient times. And, you know, praise the Lord with the trumpet, praise the Lord with the cymbal and the timbrel and various harp and that kind of thing. It's just, it's an amazing and very exceptionally special psalm. So it was that kind of, that's a more dance-like and a more upbeat, in a way, sort of movement. And the other movements are darker and more kind of pensive and influenced a little bit by the more warlike announcements that the trumpet would make.
Now, you've written a lot of other music and been nominated for, as I understand, several Grammys. So tell me about the difference on writing something like this versus some of the other things that you've written. Has this had more of a staying power because the commission came from a person who's really religious and was very motivated in that way, or is that not something that you felt maybe?
By staying power, do you mean in terms of performances or in terms of the process of writing it?
The process of writing it, and for you. I mean, has this stayed with you and really changed you, or is this something that was a great experience to write and maybe hasn't stayed as long as it might have been because it's just another piece of music?
Well, because, I mean, on one hand, my pieces are my children, so mm-hmm. they stay with me all the time. But I also have to go on to the next one. So oftentimes, I bring something from the experience of one into the next, or I say at the end of one, oh, enough of that, I'm going on to something completely different. That often happens. So in terms of staying power, this sort of piece where it's related to an experience of experiences or literature in this case, biblical literature, and a kind of emotional resonances, well, those are things that are all over my music, even when it's, you know, based on, you know, when it's kind of sonata form or something based on really old traditional ways of developing music. So it's really, this was exceptional because Philip had such a strong devotion to the Bible and to the texts, and I found my own way to relate and relate the piece to some of those texts that spoke to me the most.
How did the piece make its way to the Ohio State University Wind Symphony?
The starting place is first that Ohio State is one of the Big Ten group, and during the whole process of writing it and the premiere of the piece with the New York Philharmonic actually didn't happen. It was scheduled maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and the soloist wasn't quite ready, so that was canceled. And then the next year, there was a huge blizzard that paralyzed the East Coast, and that canceled it then, and it was put off. And more recently, Phil Smith just retired from the New York Phil, so it's looking like it's not going to get its New York premiere from him anytime soon. But luckily, he premiered the piece in Champaign-Urbana, which was one of the Big Ten bands. So those various band directors know of the piece. They were part of the funding and of the whole process of it. So I was very excited when I just suddenly got an email saying, Ohio State is doing this with Michael Sacks. Fabulous. And I hope this will be the new beginning of the piece moving around to more and more bands.
Aaron J. Kernis, I thank you very much for talking to me today on Kraft. And again, the piece will have its Ohio premiere on February 25th with the Ohio State University Wind Symphony. It is called A Voice, A Messenger. And we look forward to that.
Thank you very much, Doug. Pleasure to speak to you.
For more information from my guests, visit www.craftheshow.com, where you can also register to win The Scent of Pine by Laura Vapnier and Robert Morgan's The Road from Gap Creek. Until next time, this is Doug Dangler. Be creative.